God is. Let's get into the word. Rob started a series last week called Live Like Light. Three L's. I like it, Rob. Real preacher stuff. Live like, you know, preachers always look for, you know, three P's, three L's, all that stuff. You won't get that in my one today anyway. But I can come up with one L. But who we are to this world, that God wants to reach this world, and he's called us the light of the world. And I listened to the sermon yesterday, Rob, and tremendous sermon. And we're spoiled with Rob. Rob is a teacher of the Word of God, is able to break stuff down and feed us. He takes all them complicated issues and he breaks it down into my language. Do you get me? And we're really blessed with you, Rob. We're blessed to have you in our church and blessed with the gift of God on your life that he has put on your life for us, the body, to equip us to be like what he has on his life. And this is what God, we are the light of the world. We're not becoming it. We're not going to be it one day. Jesus says, you are. And I love the way Jesus takes it to the max. He goes, because like you can hide your light under a bushel. Because Jesus said, don't do that. But he also says then, you are like a city on a hill. Try hiding down under a bushel. He says that my glory and majesty and who I am shining out to this world through you, it cannot be snuffed out. You're going to shine brightly like a city on a hill. And so I'm going to speak this morning on being power, or power in a powerful world. And a lot of the things that Rob was saying to me was like opposites, like light and darkness. And I wanted to speak on power, and I was like, but I was going to go in a powerless world. But this world is not powerless. This world is darn powerful. It is so attractive. It draws me into its system. It draws me into the way it wants to live. It draws me into the way what it has to offer. It draws me into the comfort that has, that I somehow have a leaning towards. It is a powerful, powerful thing, this world and its system. Listen to what a lady called Ayn Rand says. Every man builds his world in his own image. He has the power to choose his world, but no power to escape it. Abraham Lincoln says, if you want to know about power, if you want to know what's in a man, give him power, and you'll see what his character is like. Jimi Hendrix and Gandhi has been noted to say this. I don't know who said it first, or if any of them even said it. It says, when the power of love becomes more powerful than the love of power, then the world will know peace. Everybody wants power. The power that the world has to offer. He says that if when the power of love becomes greater than the power, than the want of power, than the love of power, then we will see things happening. Everything in this world is screaming at us to get more power, to get more powerful, so that we can rise to the top. The world is powerful in many ways, just a few of them. The world's armies are powerful. The weaponry that they have now is powerful. The elite forces, the secret agents, the special ops operations, they can even fly in, can't they, now to other countries and bomb up other countries by sitting in a place with a remote control. Incredible. The weaponry and the power of this world's army are powerful. The power of the belief systems of this world. Whether it's humanism or secularism or positive thinking, beliefs are powerful in this world. Powerful to create things and powerful to destroy things. Belief systems have the ability to pull down nations and cities and people, and also to raise them up. And then there's obviously the power of Google, isn't there? I trust in Google. There is power, no. The information age. The power of knowledge, the power of gaining and gathering information. The world is powerful. The power of religion. Religion hoodwinks people into a state of self-righteousness that ultimately can send them to hell itself. Religion gives you a taste or a sense of righteousness, but can send you to hell. I lived in a place where drug addiction and crime went hand in hand. And it was funny. When you become a Christian, you see through the facade of religion. Because I know someone that is after coming back from robbing somebody and they go by the church and they bless themselves. Because that's what those crazy earlys do. I'm only after taking someone else's money. Oh, God. A sense of righteousness, a sense of, like, no, I'm doing something good. But yeah, further from the heart of God, you couldn't be. Religion, you know what people say, you know, most of the wars in the world has been started by religion. Believing a certain ideology. Theology causes people either to be near God or far away from God. An ideology and the power of religion causes people to strap bombs to themselves. And maim and kill hundreds and even thousands of people. The power of a lie. The lie that we can believe and it range from I'm not good enough to there is no God. This world is powerful. The power of money. Money rules. Neil Diamond had it right. Money talks. A man says this, the world is ruled by power, and power is obtained by money. And this world has plenty of money. And there are certain people and family groups and organizations that have the money. And power is obtained by having the money. Look who's running the media. Look who's running all the stuff that feeds into our lives to tell us who we are, what we're about, what we should have, and what we shouldn't have. It is powerful. What we should wear, where we should go. What stuff we stick in our face to make us look beautiful. That's just the fellas. Power of money. The power of social media. My goodness, hello. In this age, a life, a company, an organization, a career can be ruined with a tweet. Can be ruined with a status on Facebook. The power of social media has caused people to hide, run away, kill themselves. You couldn't believe it. This world is powerful. The power of ambition. Get on at all expense. The good, the bad, and the ugly of ambition in, that the world says and the world promotes. And what is God's response to a powerful world? What is his heart towards a powerful world? We find this in the scriptures. Listen to what, I'll get to some other scriptures in a minute, but when Jesus rose from the dead, after Jesus rose from the dead, was killed on the cross, rose again, the disciples seen the power of this world in all of the workings. They seen the power of public opinion. When they said, crucify this Jesus. Status a year before on Facebook. Jesus is amazing. Jesus is awesome. I seen him raise someone from the dead. I was there when he fed people that were hungry. Jesus cast out a devil. Jesus is top man. Brilliant. Third year. Crucify him. Social media. Take him out. Nail him to a cross. The power of money. Judas succumbed to money. The power of money. The power of a lie. Judas succumbed to it. The power of military. The Roman and Pontius Pilate given the okay for Jesus' death. The power of religion. The Pharisees getting their religious cravings. Because they wanted to be right. The power of an ideology, the Pharisees' belief system, crushing the innocent. That's what they would have seen. They would have seen it all in a short space of time. Now what do we do? Now what is God saying? How are we going to meet the power and the force of this world? Are we going to retreat and point the finger at us saying, bad world? Because that's what the church has done. As a girl says in Patricia's job, bowel world. Belly bowled world. What was God's response? Listen to what Paul says. He says, the writer of Hebrews, do not conform any longer. Do not conform to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you will be able to discern what is good, pleasing, and the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God is. He says, don't conform to the world, but he also says, don't run away from the world. He says, go into the world. But don't conform to that, the world's ideology, the world system, the world's way of getting on. His response was the gospel. Paul says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for those who believe. Not just the gospel that saves us in the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus, but the gospel that transforms us into the image of Jesus. The gospel that empowers us to do what Jesus has done. The gospel of, I am saved, I'm being saved, and I will be saved. That I am saved, I'm being transformed, and ultimately I'm saved. All the world system, the disciples seeing, and this is what Jesus' response. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. Then they gathered around him. He's after rising from the dead. He's just about to be taken up to heaven or go up to heaven. Taken up to heaven sounds a bit like a spaceship coming and taking someone, not at their own behest. But just before he went to heaven, they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. So no matter what we look at or listen to sell the books about the end times, nobody knows. There is science, but nobody knows. I have to laugh sometimes and I give out to myself and I give out to the telly. The world is ending. Jesus is coming back. Buy my 6 books. Just avoid the tribulation. If they really believe that, we should have a passion to grab whoever else we think is not going to heaven. And I don't know why they never preach that. Jesus coming back, tell your neighbors. Tell people on the street. Get up on a rooftop and declare it. He's coming back. Not buy my 6 books, how to survive. Worship your way through the tribulations. But people are going to hell in a handbasket. Jesus says, nobody knows the time. The Father has set by his own authority. But he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. God's response was, wait on him till you receive the power to be my witnesses, his witnesses, to this world that is very, very powerful. He meets power with power. But his power is different than the power of this world, or how the power of this world exercises its own power. He says, wait, and I was thinking of this, and maybe Rob's sermon yesterday sparked this thought off in me, about, like, that, you know, that amongst them he says, you're going to be my witnesses. Now, when you look at the 12 disciples, and there was 120 there, so we can, there was all types of personalities and people group, you know. Like, I went looking at the disciples, and they were there, and she said, I'm going to give you power. And you power, and you power, and you power. You're going to be my witnesses in this world. He works with our personality. He even redeems our personality. He can even change our personality. Look at Saul. It says in 1 Samuel, it says, when Saul left Samuel, he turned around, and he was a different man on his way to become a king. God changed him. He was a different man. What's a different man? And look at Peter. And without question, Peter was like the, duh, Peter, you've done it again. He was impulsive and emotional. Any one of them in the house? There was Andrew, who abandoned John the Baptist to follow Jesus. He introduced Peter to Jesus, and he steps back and he lets him take the front row. So any people that are like that, I'm a background person. I get all my things in the background. They were there. The Apostle James, he's known as James the Greater, because there's another James called James the Less, one of the disciples. James and John got a nickname of Jesus, Sons of Thunder. Few of them in the house, is there? See them two, they will cause ructions. They will cause things to happen them too. They, Lord, why don't we just call fire and brimstone down? That's the type of characters they were. Any of them in the house, or do you know any? They were there. John the Beloved. He calls himself John the Beloved, and Jesus calls him Son of Thunder. The Apostle Philip, he was one of the first followers of Jesus, and he wasted no time in going and finding Nathanael to tell him. They were there, the people that just run out. The Apostle Bartholomew or Nathanael, when he met Jesus, he just followed him straight away, didn't he? I'm with you, Jesus, because Jesus said, I seen you. I seen you when you were under the tree. Then there was the Apostle Matthew, who knew what it was to be hated by the Jews and loved by the Romans. And yet Jesus says two words, follow me. He was them guys that abandoned everything to follow Jesus. The Apostle Thomas, the realist. I want to see it. I have to touch it. I'm not like Peter. He just jumps or anything. But I need to touch him myself. I need this to be so real to me. The Apostle James, the less. He was in the upper room. He was one of the 12 in the upper room. He has complete, nobody knows much about him. It's like he retrieved anonymous. It's any of them. And then there was the Apostle Simon the Zealot. Well, you don't get that name for nothing, believe me. You don't get Simon the Zealot because you're a quiet fella. You're the one leading the pack. You're like, come on, we take Jerusalem. Did Jesus say Samaria? We're going to Samaria. Did he say Judea? We're going to Judea. We're all going, aren't we? Thomas, come on. Thomas the realist, where are we going to get there? Then there's the apostle Thaddeus, which they believe is Jude. This is what is wrote about him in John Arthur's book, The 12 Ordinary Men. He says he was a tender-hearted, gentle man who displayed childlike humility. The tender-hearted and the childlike was there. And the gentleman was there. And then there was Judas. They were all there. We were all there. The church was there, wrapped up in these people. The personality types that weren't probably there were probably in the other 118 or 111. We were all there, and he goes, you're going to be my witness. You're going to be my witness. You, you're all going to be my witnesses. But Lord, I'm a shy person. You're going to be my witness. But Lord, I'm a realist. You're going to be my witness. Lord, I'm a tender-hearted person. You're going to be my witness. He says, go and wait in Jerusalem, and I'm going to give you power. And we know the story. They all waited in Jerusalem, and they received power to be his witnesses. Power. The only way this world is gonna know who God is if that there's a power greater than that. That there's another way of living. That like you want to live in darkness, I'm going to bring light to the darkness. You want to live in unforgiveness, I'm going to bring a message of forgiveness into that place of unforgiveness. That's how they know when they see the alternative world, the alternative kingdom of God, where everyone is trying to make it to the top. Jesus says, come on, wash feet, guys. And that's not just in the world, that mentality. That's in the church. Jesus says you're going to receive power. The Holy Spirit is going to come. The promise of the Father. The game changer is on his way. The one who will make you different. You stand out from anyone else in the world. The one who makes you light. The one who shines through you. The one who will lead you, guide you, protect you. Come alongside you, encourage you, teach you. He's the one that's coming. And he waited in the upper room. The Bible says that he came like a rush of wind. And what seemed to be tongues of fire. The flames came and landed on each one of their heads. Every name had a flame. There was one for everybody. The one that was like, I'm just the one in the background. You're getting a flame. Your name has a flame on it. And that flame is going to cause you to be my witness in this world. Jesus didn't tell them, I'm going to give you church waiting in the room. He didn't even say, I'm going to give you the word. Which is usually important. If he was only going to give us the word, he would have said, look, go and read the Old Testament. He says, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And before there was a New Testament, the Holy Spirit was there. He inspired the writers of the New Testament. He says, I'm going to give you power. You don't have to come up with your own ingenuity. You don't have to come up with your own ways of doing this. I'm going to empower you to be my witness in this world. And they waited and they all received. Amen. They all received. And I'm so conscious, and I know Rob is so conscious, because he makes me more conscious of this, that we preach in a way that we send the church out to be more holier, more greater, more fasting, more prayer, and we just put it all back on us again that we can actually do this. But it's only in the power of the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus said, this is the one, this is the game changer. This is what will make, it's him who will make you different. He will give you a voice. Because if there's anything this world will try to rob on the church and is constantly trying to rob on the church, is our voice. That's why I'm passionate about the women's conference. The voice of a woman. That's why we've started men's meetings in our district just the other night. Because we want the voice of men, them things that keeps us down. What has the devil got on you that stops you from talking? What has he got on us that stops us from reaching for the things that God has asked us to reach for? What has he got on us? What is he putting on us that the Holy Spirit cannot break? What lie has he told us? What ideology has he put into our mind? What things has he said? What they think and they like and they dislike and they ignore? What has been put on you? What's robbed us? It says in 1 Samuel chapter 17, it says this, in verse 1, Now Goliath came out, and for 40 days he would torment the people of God, the army. It says that they would come out, and he would come out and remind them, who's the man? Send me someone out to fight me. If he defeats me, we become your subjects. But if I defeat him, you are ours. Every day, now Goliath will come out. That's what it says. Now Goliath. Now Goliath. And the people of God was silenced. Oh, don't get me wrong. They came out every day in the battle of raiment. That's what it says. Came out with their spears and their shields. We are soldiers, mighty, mighty soldiers. Till Goliath came out. And all the battle of raiment and everything. There was silence. Nobody saying anything. Nobody saying, where's the God of Israel? Nobody saying, God is greater. He silenced them. Verse 12 says, now David. Now David. Someone else was coming on the scene. Now John, now Billy, now Rob, now Patrice, now Gary, now you. God is waiting on the now you to stand up and say, no, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Yeah, you come against me with sword and javelin, but I come against you with a greater power. The name of God. You're mine, sunshine. Now David. Everything that the enemy put on everyone else kept them down. He was after being worshiping in the fields. He came out of the presence of God. The only thing that was going to cause us to be powerful is being in his presence. Do you know, you ever wonder why David was so accurate with this stone? He was practicing in the secret place. When he was with God playing his harp. When he was striking up the lyre, when he was saying, the Lord, you're my shepherd. Even if I go through the valley, I won't fear because you're with me. And he comes running up a youngfella. What's going on? Go home. Go home. You're just here to look at a fight. I was the second youngest of 12. I know what I would have said. What fight? You look like you're going for a fight. You sound like you're going for a fight. But there's no fight. He shuts you all up. I will take him on. I will teach this uncircumcised Philistine a lesson. He found a voice, the power of God. And it says in chapter 16, the last verse of chapter 16, that when Samuel poured oil upon David's head, the power of God, the Holy Spirit, came upon him. The Spirit of God came upon him with power. He moves out, now David. Now it's my turn. Now what God has trained me in there, I'm stepping up in. I won't be silent. I won't be silent. You cannot stay silent. We have to get a hold of the Spirit of God, the power of prayer. It says in the Bible that our prayer is powerful and effective. The power, our prayer is powerful. How are we going to look at a dying world and how are we going to affect the dying world? In prayer. Because the Bible says that's what's powerful and that's what's effective. The prayer, the power of a call. There's people with great ambition and great dreams in this world. But it can never match the power of someone that's called by God. Equipped by God, empowered by God, and enabled by God. That's what the anointing is. His oil on you to do what he's called you to do. I don't know whether you heard the story of Jackie Pullinger. A young girl leaves her home in England, 20 years of age or something. Goes to China, ends up in the Wall City in Hong Kong. And all these opium addicts, she went in with just Jesus. No, not a program, presence. Not a program, presence. A program will program us. His presence will progress us into things that he has for us. And all she had to offer these people that were addicted to opium was the Holy Spirit. Obviously salvation in Jesus. And the Holy Spirit. And it says when the Holy Spirit came on them in the book of Acts, it says that they were all filled and they all spoke in another language. And this is where she went with. Filled, other language. And she went in and people became Christians. And the first thing she'd done was pray for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Baptizing the Holy Spirit. Moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the ones that broke through in that were the ones that were released from this. And Jesus says, I'm offering you this. I want you to go and affect this world. I want you, there's powerful things. Do you ever read that thing about the seven mountains? And it's basically, you know, way back in 75, the likes of Bill Bright from Campus Crusade and Lauren Cunningham that started YWAM, they were talking about the seven mountains before it has ever became popular in the last 10 years. And what they were saying was that to go into all the world, there's spheres, areas of a huge influence in the world. And unless if the Christians keep standing back and going, bold media. It's always going to be bold. If the church stands back and says, art and entertainment, bold. If it says to family life, bold. If it says to businesses, you're bold. If it says to education, very bold. If it says to the government, very, very, very bold. All there is going to be is very, 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 very bold. But what they were saying, that if us Christians know that we're the light of the world, go into the darkness, and we bring our influence into these areas, believe me, God will open doors for us. Look through the scriptures. Daniel, Joseph, Abraham, Jacob. Pharaoh was having dreams. The power brokers of their world was having dreams about them. Pharaoh's still dreams. We commit ourselves to God, Lord, wherever I am, whether I'm at the school gate or I'm on Dáil Éireann, I want to be your light. I want to be your influence. But Lord, I need to be filled. And you promised. And I believe it and I receive it in the name of Jesus.